Hello.
Hi, Debbie.
Good evening. I call the July 18th, 2017 regular board meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Right, 7:01. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines has excused absence. Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Next item on the agenda are the consent agenda items. Items A through E are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda?
Okay.
No.
Nope.
Okay, then I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
Okay, roll call, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Yes. Okay. Okay, matters from the public. Before everybody talks to us, if anybody does, just wanted to let you know that we have a little public participation brochure in the back. A couple things to remember. Any person may be recognized to speak on any matter. A speaker should identify themselves by name and address. This is the time to talk during the matters from the public. Also, a speaker's comments should be limited to 3 minutes, and we can reserve up to 30 minutes to speak, but 3 minutes is what we'd appreciate for anybody who wants to speak. And I guess this is a good time to start. Is there anyone who would like to talk to the board? Please. Now, this is being recorded, so I will ask that you talk into the microphone.
Sure.
Is it on? It should be. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For a point of reference, if you could please look at the existing tree. The tree trunk is on the bottom left.
No, I'm sorry.
It says existing tree on the bottom left. I'm sorry.
I've got it upside down.
So this tree is existing, and it's planted the trunk 9 feet from the border of the park along the driveway. And the canopy, the beautiful tree, hangs about halfway over the driveway. It's hanging halfway over our driveway. It's just for you to sort of point of reference, like I said. So now if you look at the trees, you are proposing 1 through 5, I've numbered them. I also showed, you can see 6 feet. Can you see that mark, that border, that playground is 6 feet? So the trees are being planted about 3 feet from my ground.
I'm sure it's from last time.
The canopy will most likely.
This looks really thick. Look at
this.
This
will want to carve out shade, since it said in the website that you're providing trees for shade, will be going over my driveway. And will not really be going much into the actual playground where children will be. Also, number tree 5, you move over to tree 5, and if you see that little asterisk, that red asterisk, that's my in-ground basketball hoop.
This is all.
So the canopy is actually going over, will eventually go over my hoop. So what I'm asking is that tree number 5 be moved in that big grassy open space between the sandbox, near the sandbox, where kids will be playing and will actually have shade on them. That's where kids will be. So that seems like a good place for the kids. It will also not impede on my kids playing basketball. And will still be a border. The other thought is tree number two. Why not plant that where there's a bench? So it actually provides shade for the person sitting in the bench, at the bench. I think these are, you know, two reasonable suggestions. We do want tree one, three, and four to be something that is basically straight up so it's not hanging over our driveway. But that's what I'm asking about. Again, five to be moved because it's getting the end of two. I think it would be nice tree two to be by the bench. Regarding the fence, I've read the recommendations, as Lisa shared recommendations from PDRMA, and also shared the board's recommendations to have the fence go the entirety of the driveway. While I understand that you might feel the fence is necessary for the open area, I feel that the fence going about halfway, which you can see is about 70 feet, would keep those kids safe in that open area and would stop. I don't see a need for the fence where the border of the playground comes in our driveway. At this point, it's about 70 feet.
Thank you very much.
It's about four sentences.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah, I'm almost done. At this point, I have like five sentences. It's between 1 and 6 feet to my driveway. So ground cover would not be very expensive for that. Also, there's a natural border where the playground area is. And my kids, again, are playing basketball, and that fence could be a hazard to them. So in closing, as the only homeowner being impacted by the design of the park, I don't see why moving those, certainly the one tree, number five, would be a problem. And I would like you to consider stopping the fence short of my basketball hoop.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to address the commission?
Sure. I'm Kevin Batson, Nicole's husband. I don't have written words, but I hope you strongly consider what my wife had to say. She spent a lot of time thinking long and hard about how to improve the park, not just from our perspective as the direct neighbors, but also to the entire community's perspective. I think the requests are reasonable, certainly amount of the trees and the fence. It's really important to us to not be fenced in, right? To sort of be able to protect the children in a way that helps them, but doesn't interfere with the usage of our driveway. Would love to consider a fence going, as Nicole said, halfway, three quarters of the way up, with some vegetation for the rest of the way. Perhaps that could be a reasonable compromise. The way that it's inexpensive. But everybody's looking to kind of satisfy their. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other members of the public would like to say anything? Okay. All right, then the matter is closed for the moment.
Okay.
Now we move on to the financial report.
Carol?
We are now 4 months into the new fiscal year. It's hard to believe we're 30 of the way through already. Some promising signs. We did make recovery in the daycare area, you can see, compared to last year, so we're very hopeful about that. Also, the beach recouped some of the revenue, so that's looking good. Heading into the usually typically warmer months of July and August, where it's a significant daily fee, so we're hoping for that warm weather. I think it's coming tomorrow. I did want to point out on the monthly financial analysis where there's a three-year comparison. If you look down to the rec admin take-up department, it looks unusually high for expenses. That is because the interfund transfer from recreation to Fund 69 for future capital projects is included in that, and this year we did 1.1 from recreation. So it does kind of skew those numbers. There's a footnote on there, but it inadvertently got cut off. So.
Okay.
Any questions?
Questions?
I have a question for Mike, I think, that's related to Carol's comment. Some time ago, when I was at the beach, Bobby was talking about the attendance was actually down. His hypothesis maybe was that was due to the increase in fees. I don't remember how long ago that was, so can you just comment on whether things have caught up as of this report, or whether actually, you know, if you fast forward in 3 weeks from this date, we'd have some revenue from beach visits?
Yeah, I think it's still a work in progress. I think waiting until the end of the season to make any judgment on the price increases and how that affects attendance is probably the best bet, but I think, Carol, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think right now revenues are consistent with how they've been in the past. Last year was a very strong year, and we're on track for another strong year, but again, a lot of it's going to be weather dependent. The biggest thing we're seeing is during the week, attendance is down a little bit, but on weekends it's strong, and the revenues are very strong because of that. So,
that's right. Okay. So it sounds like a comment he gave me may have been, you know, maybe it was June or something.
Yeah, so what we have to do is we have to really wait till the end of the season, because what will happen is that if people are coming on the weekends and they're coming one time, we'll see if our increase in non-resident rates affect it if they come again or they don't come again. So I think, so we are seeing a noticeable drop participation-wise, number of people on the beach, which I think was the purpose of raising non-resident fee, so especially during the weekdays. So we'll see actually how it rolls out by
the
end of the season.
Agree with waiting for the end, but
yeah.
What I'm hearing you guys say is there's no catastrophic.
There's nothing along.
No. And we've had really good weather on the weekends too, so that's been nice.
And really not very good weather during the week.
Exactly.
This is so weather dependent. It's kind of hard even at the end of the season to extrapolate from, you know, the data that we have. And a change in fee structure may require a couple of years to kind
exactly.
of. You know, get itself into the community and let people get used to it and then adjust.
We track how frequently we close due to weather. We track average temperature,
so we can
give you some good information about, you know, oh, well, the temperature was this, and
it's,
you know,
good.
So we'll be able to take some educated guesses.
Excellent.
But again, until the end of the year, you know, again with the fluky weather where it's storming and sunny, but I don't think anything we're worried about at this point.
Well, it's kind of not going to be apples to apples. We added the credit card payment, which has been awesome. I've been well received, according to staff, and the convenience of how they can pay has been very helpful. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Very good question.
Yeah. You said that the daycare revenue, what was your comment?
The net, we were, I think it was close to $25,000 difference last month, the differential, so we're seeing a closing the gap.
Okay. So it's still down from last year, but much better than 2015.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so some of the changes we made in relation to that gap, we're seeing it close, so those things are working, such as like a deposit for infants. And the infant rooms, we're going through our first year of the infant room, so we're starting to see those fill up faster. So we weren't at capacity right when we opened. People were holding spots for 6 months until their baby was born or ready to go into it. So we're seeing some of those things shift. So we're happy with that direction.
But now we have a wait list.
We have a wait list for most rooms.
A couple age group, yeah.
But not infants yet, right?
The infants were full, but some of those infants haven't started yet.
Yeah.
So we don't have a wait list yet, but some of the other rooms we do have a wait list. Which we're trying to add staff so we can accommodate that wait list. We can only do that in the Frogs room. All of our other rooms are licensed for the maximum amount of kids we have in there right now. The Frogs is the only one that we're trying to find qualified staff to increase the maximum for that.
Good questions.
Any other questions? Financial? Okay. What I'd like to do with your support is move an item while we have people here in the public. I'd like to entertain a motion to move action item F, approve the landscape plan for Astor Park, up on the agenda. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
Excellent. All right, so Astor Park, we are moving right along. Construction is going very well at that park. We're looking for approval of the landscape plan. So we talked about this last month, and the board directed us to go back to Pederma to talk specifically about the fencing and the concerns they had there. So Proderma did review the site plans for the playground, and they noted two border concerns as defined by the Consumer Product Safety Commission. So the adjacent roadways of Astor Place and Sunset Lane, and they already saw the district plans indicate the use of the fence to address those concerns. And then the adjacent homeowner driveway, in their opinion, poses a significant border concern, and it was recommended that a fence or dense vegetation to be provided for this border concern. So the staff is recommending this split rail fence for a number of reasons. Dense vegetation may infringe on our open space. Dense vegetation is considerably more expensive to purchase and install. So when we put that vegetation in, it couldn't be just a small bucket one expected to grow up like you would normally do with, say, at your house. We would have to plant mature trees to provide that safety barrier immediately. Dense vegetation is more expensive to maintain, and I don't know, Chris, you indicated how much man hours compared to one
so
or the other.
When you think dense vegetation, you're not thinking about ground cover. You're thinking about a hedgerow, thinking about something that is 4 to 6 feet tall, something that's really going to provide a physical barrier to the edge of the site. So in particular, tree maintenance at a site like this might be 4 to 6 labor hours a year, where I would expect dense vegetation to probably be triple that, probably have to do a spring pruning and a fall pruning as well. So that's the kind of thing that can, as we saw with the dense vegetation at the north end of the park, can easily become overwhelming into a green space or a play area. So that would be the specifics of it.
So we also feel split rail fencing acts more as a barrier that makes children stop, look around, but can still easily access to climb over the fence should they throw a ball over or whatever, where dense vegetation, well, it could get stuck in there. We also see kids trying to maneuver through those vegetations and, you know, do, you know, gets the end. You've probably seen that where the bottom gets killed off. And so that's why we're recommending the split rail fence. According to Proderma's recommendations, we do not advise it going against Proderma's recommendation, because then we void any kind of protection from them should there be an accident in that area.
And Proderma is our insurance carrier.
Is our insurance carrier. They're ones that make recommendations to keep all of our facilities safe and protect us from potential litigation and liability. So their recommendation is very important to us. As far as the site plan, if you flip over the page, the one that Nicole gave is actually the old plan, so this is not really accurate. This was the old one. The one in the board packet is the correct one. So if you look at that, you'll see the that we removed a lot of the vegetation, a lot of the plantings out of that plan based on last month's meeting in order to open up the park as much as possible. So the only plantings we're really going to do for flowers or bushes will be around this park district sign on either side and then at the entrances of the park. Other than that, we're just recommending tree planting. Again, that was to address the concern for shade at that site. If you look at the tree planting, it looks like number two, we've already moved back to be in front of the bench, so that addresses Nicole's concern right there. I don't know if we want to talk. We looked at the plat of survey after getting the email. You want to go put it up?
Yeah.
The plat of survey, just to see how close these trees were to the fence line. So we're going to pop it up because when we do new parks, as you know, we do a plat of survey for these areas.
Should you just be able to flip that?
Oh. Turn it to help. Anyways, as far as the tree plantings by the sand play area, we believe there's enough tree plantings over there by the bench. If you see where we put the bench on this this diagram, there's two mature trees there that provide the shade for the sand play area. So don't feel there's a need to plant any more to provide shade for that area. It was really to address, shade trees are being planted in there to address the shade for the playground.
How come only one of them has that big circle?
I don't know. That's a good question. Actually, there's a couple of them that have that big circle. That must be a bigger, mature tree. The other one must be smaller. It does. It looks like that's, there's a 13-inch face and a 3-inch face, if I could read that small of print. Okay, so...
Is this...
That's it? Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Have they seen that?
Yeah, I told her it was in the board packet, so this is one that was in the board packet. Okay, so this is the plat of survey we had done on the site. Like you said, we're doing... Can you zoom it in? Oops. Okay, I'm sorry. Because that's really small. Thank you.
There.
Perfect, thank you. Jenny, you might want to stay there. Chris, you want to talk a little bit about what we discovered in this?
So this is the plat survey that we did prior to the actual projects, where we determined the location of the trees, the topography, the kind of things we need to do this project. So as we talk about the plantings and the fence, so one of the things that's kind of made the planning process a little bit more difficult is the actual encroachment of the driveway and the basketball hoop on the partnership property. So as we're discussing the location of the fence, the location of the bushes, we are in fact having to plan those around the fact that that driveway right now and the basketball hoop is on the park district's property. So that's something that we've had to factor in how we lay things out, what we're calling for, and how we're approaching that going forward.
Right, and so when we have these encroachment issues, we really don't go back to homeowners and say, okay, tear this out. What we do is identify, hey, we have this encroachment issue, that should this driveway ever be replaced, we would request that they not replace it on a park district property. So whenever that is taken out and replaced, they would have to go back onto their property line. But we're not requesting any improvements or taken off the land, but just noted that this will not automatically become their property just because it's on there. So.
I can't tell from the scale of that, 6 inches.
So I would say starting here, we're probably looking at 15 inches wide by maybe 20 feet long, so a total approximation of maybe 18, 20 square feet total. I mean, if you go out to the site, it's not something that jumps right out at you like a fence or a garage or something like that, but it is something that's worth discussing and how we approach the planning process.
Can you put up the plan? Do you have that on yours? Perfect, thank you. Okay, so this is the plan. So the one Nicole handed out is an older one, so I just wanted to make, it's in the board deck, this is the correct one, where we're recommending tree plantings. Again, just to help with shade on that site and, you know, beautification. And trees are always good in our parks.
So these are obviously existing plantings, these trees here. As we mentioned earlier, this tree up here is probably 25 to 50 years old, so we have the size that it's at. This is an existing tree. So what ultimately was recommended at this time to meet the direction we've given them regarding shade is 5 plantings here, 3 and then 2 down here along the property line. So I think it's important to know that the CPSC guideline is in force with the entire park, not just the green space, not just the sandbox area. This entire site can be categorized as a playground. So that guideline, that recommendation was made, would be enforced for the entire site.
And can you go back up to park sign? We are going to put the park sign as close to the sidewalk as legally we're able to. The village has codes on that, and then the fence will go behind it so that there's a visual barrier, so no one, you know, feels like they can
see that sign. So as you can see, we've shown the fence actually curving around the existing driveway that's encroached on the property, down here past where the basketball hoop is in this area, down at the end, and then coming over, bordering this residence.
Any questions?
Kevin raised a question last time about what species of tree these are. I totally imagine these are oak trees. They're ultimately going to be quite wide at the top. They're birch trees. They're pretty much going to go straight up.
So what we've looked at is allowing ultimately the discretion as a landscape architect to choose the tree. Obviously, we're not looking at a magnolia that's going to be 40 feet wide at the base in 20 years. It's really up to them as a professional to look and to decide what trees they are.
Knowing that we told them and they see the site, they know the issues with the driveway right next to it. So,
can we just direct them to choose species that are more or less?
We have, so they're taking that into account. Yeah, yeah.
So, just to repeat, that's more of a common columnar type tree rather than one that spreads.
Yes, so it won't be a giant oak.
Okay. Let's see. Commissioners, any other questions?
I guess I don't want to be difficult, but since a neighbor has made the request, does staff have any particular objection to moving what Nicole called tree five?
This one here?
Yeah, a couple of feet to the east or south.
No.
No? I mean, I think it serves the purpose for shade, whether it's here or... here?
Yeah, I wouldn't move it any farther down because we already have enough shade for the thing. But if you move it, can you put that light back on? So if you move it right there, it's no issue.
Would that actually address the issue?
It's
hard to tell that I'm sure that it's something you say. But I think that
would be good. I mean, with this thing,
yeah, that's not an issue at all. We could direct them to move that tree.
I think it's important to remember that these are not going to be mature,
yeah.
5-year-old trees when they go out there.
Yeah.
8 to 10 feet tall, if that.
Yeah.
You know, probably a base circumference 4 feet across. It'll take 2 or 3 decades before a tree here has become the scope of what we're discussing here.
Yeah.
My experience is that by the time that tree is big, you won't be one of
the best. I bet the next
or they might have to move her. That's what we do.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions?
Okay.
Okay. Why don't we
make a motion?
Yes, we have to make a motion. And you'll say
change the landscape plan for Astor Park, including the split rail fence around the park as indicated in the plan and Poderma's recommendation as presented.
And you can also add with tree number five. We'll name it five.
Further south tree moved 2 feet.
Two feet over. Okay.
Or is recommended? Yeah.
Let's say within a 6-foot radius here.
6-foot radius.
2 feet over.
Okay.
Okay.
Versus 6 feet.
Okay.
We'll do as presented.
For the landscaper.
Yep.
Okay.
So
the landscaper would.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So we need them.
I am entertaining a motion for that, but I can't make it happen. So, Commissioner?
So moved.
So moved. Okay, that works. And
Ludden?
No.
You don't have to.
We're in the middle of a...
The question was, what are we moving? What is the amendment we're moving?
From what I understand, I entertain a motion to approve landscape plan for Astor Park, including a split rail fence around the park as indicated in the plan, and Poderma's recommendation as presented, including moving the south tree 2 to 6 feet as authorized by the landscape architect.
Say more than two.
We said 2 to 6 feet as authorized by landscape architect, as recommended by landscape architect.
Yeah, I don't want to get into landscape architecture. Okay. Roll call, please.
Okay. Commissioner Bourne.
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks.
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden.
Yes.
President Enerduck.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
We're done.
Thank you. Thank you all. It was certainly an interesting process, and I think we've come to a good conclusion.
We're excited about the grand opening.
Yes. Okay, and the next item is staff reports. Right?
All right, so let's go right on to the business department report.
You know what? I have nothing really other to add to the report that I presented, just starting some summer projects related to time clock management system, the distinguished agency accreditation, and some of the things that just need time. So nothing further to add than what's already been presented.
Excellent. Any questions for Carol on the business report? Okay. Parks and facility maintenance reports.
I'll second Carol if there's any specific questions to the report. Obviously, this is a very busy time of the year. We're seeing a lot of great park use. If any of you may notice, we did get the tennis court pressure washed at Lakefront Park. We do have tennis court pressure washing scheduled for several other courts in the beginning of August. So we're definitely at the time of the year where things are really looking the way we want them to look. And we're excited to move forward, continuing to work on the projects that we have.
Okay. Any questions?
How did we come through the big storms?
I'm going to be talking about the beach under my report.
Okay.
And that would be a good question for that one.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
If you don't mind.
No,
okay.
That's fine.
Erin?
Nothing to add to my report other than the fall guide went out to every resident, and we are, believe it or not, gearing up for fall right now.
I just want to say, so I read it yesterday, there was some nice variety of activities in there for different age ranges, which is nice to see some new things pop up.
I want to second that it looks really good. However, I did note a remarkable dearth of activities for people between ninth grade and adult. Is that a strategic decision?
What do you mean, dearth?
Well, like every item in there was for kids from 2 to 8th grade or for 18 plus. I didn't mean it like with a fine tooth comb, but really every program.
There are teen programs. We partner a lot with the GGHP and the teen center in town to do a lot of our teen programmings. They have the draw there, and then we work with them on expanding those programs. Yeah.
There was
some
Bob Ryan's teens.
Yeah.
The question that I mean, notwithstanding changing programming, which would be more of a strategic decision than a brochure decision, is there a reason that a lot of the programs that are labeled 18 plus literally you couldn't sign up if you were 16?
It depends what programs they are. So some of them can, some are, some, well, some people don't want 16-year-olds with adults, so that's one of the reasons.
Isn't it a challenge for every park district to engage that age range? It's every park district's most challenging problem is to try to figure out how. And your approach has been to try to dovetail with some of the organizations that do have kind of a grasp on this age group, because of my own experience with kids that age, that's not enough for anything.
Right.
Because there's something there for them, but it could be because that's just not where they are at that time of their life. So I know you're challenged by it. I know it's a struggle and you'd love to include them, but...
They prefer to do drop-in programs, but we do things like the fitness center will be a big draw for that 16-year because it's more of a drop-in. That's where they meet their friends. So we're doing it in other ways.
Right.
So there might not be a program for 15, 18-year-olds because you're right, they don't sign up. They don't want scheduled programs. So we try to do the teen skates and the drop-in basketball and work with GJHB and the teen center to fill those voids.
And you know what? When you're in the chair, you're busy at
the chair. They are busy at the chair.
Well, and I was going to say, one of the other biggest ways we help them is we hire them.
And we hire them. Yeah, we're the number one employer. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that is actually one of our biggest, people underestimate that, but that is one of our biggest way to program for teens.
I agree with what Commissioner Brooks just said, sign up for stuff like that. I have one myself. However, it's remarkable when you read through the document that it not addressed very much. And so I would ask if you could consider if there are adult programs, what are called adult programs now, that there's really no reason why a teenager couldn't sign up, that not sort of specifically excluded that.
Okay, we'll take that note and look at which programs we could do that or offer another program like it for that age.
I think, based on what Lisa just said, I would think that would be challenging to get people to sign up.
So we'll look at it.
Okay, safety committee, how are things?
And we're having a very great safe summer.
Okay.
Everybody's been trained marvelously well. Knock on wood.
It's always a knock on wood when I see you say that. You just want to say, yes, it's been very adequate.
Yes.
And never jinx yourself, right?
Okay, it's enough. Yeah.
Okay, moving along then, the rest of the executive director's report.
Yes, so I just would like to congratulate staff on the 4th of July celebration. They did a marvelous job with the activities that we ran. There's probably 2,000 individuals in attendance at the park that night watching the fireworks. The park district runs the fun run along with Rotary, the preschool games at Cock Park, mini golf tournament, which was new this year. It was very well received. And then Glencoe's Got Talent, and we did concessions, a band, and everything like that. Did we skip over your report, Mike? We skipped over you.
Oh,
what do you have to add, Mike?
I was just going to applaud the beach staff. We got our annual audit. All of our lifeguards are certified through Red Cross, but Poderma has Ellis and Associates, another lifeguarding company, come out and audit our beach. They videotape our lifeguard scanning. They take them through some practical skills. And then we got audited last week, and they passed with flying colors. The auditor said it was one of the best audits she'd seen all summer, so I just wanted to give some kudos to the beach staff, as well as to Naomi and her team and some of the rec team that came to help out on train day on Saturday. Awesome event. We had over 170 people sign up. I think everyone had a great time, so really popular event that went really well.
That was a brand new one, too.
Brand new one, yeah.
I put more details about the lifeguard audits in my report, including the staff name. They did a fantastic job on that audit. It's not even... It's a surprise audit. They don't know it's coming. They don't know they're there. So, very good.
That's great. And I have another question about camp. Naomi's not here. So, is this
for the event? Sure. In the recreation report, definitely.
It's hard to tell because it says the capacity of camp has been reduced. So, it looks like we had pretty big decrease this year. But is that partly because of that capacity?
Can you explain?
Space issue, yeah. So because Kinder Corner jumped up by about 15 participants, we had to put them in a room we normally put the panda bears in. So we had to reduce the maximum for panda bears to accommodate that high demand at Kinder Corner.
Okay. Yeah, because I knew there was a wait list, and that's why I was concerned, like, why are we down so much? So
yeah.
We saw a space
issue.
Space
issue, yeah.
Any other questions?
That's a good one.
Sorry.
Okay.
That was a good one.
Sorry about that, Mike.
No, Mike's going to come back and talk about the adult recreation, too.
That's later, so I've finished my report.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, so can someone pop up the beach PowerPoint, if you don't mind?
You want the clicker?
Sure. Thank you. Okay, you... Commissioner Underdunk, you asked about how we fared with the storms.
Yes.
We fared much better than north of us, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the day of the storms, it took me 2 hours to get in. So we were lucky. We missed that. But what's happening is all that water from the storms are dumping into Lake Michigan all over. And as you know, Botanic Garden was closed. Lake Cook Road was closed for the first time. So, but we have seen issues on our beach with sand erosion, and when we have those big storms, we end up getting big ruts through our beach that have to be addressed. So that's probably the biggest thing. And as you know, the beach is ever-changing, so we could do some improvements one day, and the next day it could be all taken away. So here's some, is it which one? This one? There we go. Here's some pictures of the beach right now. If you see right here, this is the drain pipe. This our beach, our Lake Michigan is really high this year, and Mike and Chris jump in anytime. The water's really high, which is causing erosion on our beach, less of a beach area. So this pole right here.
So that's the drain pipe off the street.
Yep.
About
12 months ago, that entire thing.
Understand. Yes. Usually, as this is the first time, probably in 20 years, we've seen this much exposed. As you can see over here, I'll see if I have a better picture of that one next. Right here, you can see all the rocks here. So it makes it impossible to pull these boats into the water at that angle. It would just ruin the bottom of their boats. So we are seeing high waters, losing sand area. Here's another area on the other side of the boating beach. This just shows some of the erosion there. I think I skipped over some of this. We're just showing you some of the boating area. This is the other side. This is the swimming beach. You see right here, this is the anchor that's usually under sand, so it is now visible. So you can see the amount of sand loss that's happening over there. Here's another one that's closer to this one. See the sand. These are steps. Actually, these steps were put in 20 years ago by Bill. And immediately after they put them in, supposedly the sand covered them, and they haven't seen them for 20 years. So we can see them again. So the sand has been taken away and put out. So they've had to work on covering those back up. So it's going to give a little idea. So this is what we're doing right now for the beach. Just want to make it clear that the beach changes daily. So any efforts we put in regrading can be lost in a single night. And we see that. We see that we do work, and all of a sudden there's no sand, and then we'll see a collection of sand in some area. At this point, we've moved a number of boats stored on the north end of the Bodie Beach to temporary spots due to the high water, and especially with the storms. I don't know if you were out there. Is it Monday night with all the waves, Mike?
Sunday.
Well, no, it was Monday because I was working too. So it was Monday night we went down there, and we still had a lot of wave actions down there. Sunday and Monday.
Sunday into Monday. Yeah.
Into Monday, most Monday. We had to get the boats back, so the water was going to affect them. So what we're doing is we're moving all the spots, but the organization's not ideal, which means it could take them a lot longer to get boats out for use when boaters are coming down. The Parks team has regraded a number of areas on both boating side and the swimming side. This requires rental equipment and staff time, just to give you an idea. So this is what we did. We rented a dingo. Chris, you want to talk on this?
So dingo, it's a great trade term. Basically, it's a small tractor that's only about 3 feet wide. We're very limited as to what we can do on the boating beach because any equipment we have has to pass between the swimming beach and the boating beach in front of the water plant. So we're obviously not able to float it around. So this is a very small piece of equipment. The bucket itself is probably only the size of five-gallon buckets. So it's really not a piece of equipment that you can do major regrading with. We use it to remove the cliff faces. When you see or remove sand up against the ramp, it is not ideal, and we do it to improve really as a safety, not necessarily aesthetics. As far as the track skid steer, that's for more large scale operations. We've used that in the two times this year to fill in large canyons from drainage, those types of things that would not be possible to walk over. So we typically do that work early in the morning. At the beginning of the season, we brought Lenny Hoffman's excavators out, and they regrade the entire beach. He has a large enough piece of equipment that he's able to drive around out in the lake from the sand beach or the swimming beach to the boating beach. That particular piece of equipment costs $330 an hour to be on our beach. So we spend around $4,500 at the beginning of the season to do that. So all in all, we've spent approximately $4,700 on rental equipment this season, 35 labor hours, which is a conservative estimate, and around $4,200 on just grading the beach alone to really contend with these issues that we've had.
And at this point, we haven't lost any boating spots. We haven't had to tell people, sorry, we have nowhere to put your boat. Next year, we may have to revisit that, but at least for this year, we have a spot for everyone. Like Lisa said, the stacking's not ideal, but staff can manage it, and we can still get boats in the water, you know, within 20 minutes of people asking for them.
So, what if we had more sand? That's what everybody always says. And there was a time that we had a lot of sand. If you talk to Bill, who's our historian, he said what used to happen is we'd add sand, and then we had the sand this high and then a big drop off. So what we've been doing since Chris has been here is just regrading our sand so we don't get that big drop off that we used to have. But at some point we may need new sand. But to bring sand down, it's not as easy a thing. And we put all the steps down there. And I'm just going to tell you is what we have to do is we have to drop semi loads of sand on Hazel, right? It's Hazel.
Yeah, and when the semi trucks can't make it down the bluff.
They can't go down the bluff, so we have to hire someone else to bring it down onto the beach, and then we have to build a little ramp to get it over to the boat side. So it's a very expensive proposition to do that. So it's not something we do lightly, and we usually never do it when we're in operation because it will require closing the beach for 3 to 5 days. So we just want to give you that information. If anybody says, why don't we just bring more sand, it's not as easy as you think. It's also cost between, like, it costs about $75,000 to do it. So what we are doing is we're regrading what we have. And a lot of times the sand that's lost comes back it comes back eventually. Usually not the spot you want, you have to move it around. So that just gives you a little update on that. So that's why we're not recommending it. It's just that, you know, we would have to close the beach, we would lose revenue, boaters would be upset. We have sailing camps, we have aquatic camp going on down there, so it's not something we recommend doing. Future sand. So I'm a part of a group called IDNR, a coastal management group, and it convened the Illinois Sand Management Group, because obviously we've been concerned about this issue for a while. So it's an ad hoc work group comprised of local and state officials. And I immediately got on the test group, so it's Glencoe, Lake Bluff, Evanston, and Foss Park District, and the city of Evanston are looking ways to have IDNR bring sand that's going down to Waukegan and then bring it on barge and drop it onto our beach. They've been doing that successfully in a couple of different locations, so we're petitioning that to have our location be a test site also. We would like both in the water and actually on our shore. If we did that, it would be a considerable cheaper proposition. They bring down a barge and they have a machine that actually shoots it off. We're just not sure if we can have it on land, which is where we really need it. There's a couple things we're still trying to work out with that sand that we get. So that's something I've been on this committee for about a year that we're working towards. May not find out next year for this. It might be the year after. These things kind of work a little slower. But we are working on a solution. This group is also looking at long-term what other solutions we can do. So the adding sand onto our beach would be a short-term. How could we work to keep sand on our shores is the long-term goal of the group. But right now we're just working on that. Okay, well, how can we help the immediate needs? Lake Bluff, City of Evanston are paying equally what we are to get sand on the beach, and none of us can afford to keep on doing that. So just wanted to make you aware of that, that we're working on that.
I thought I read at some point, maybe it was associated with this group that you're on, that some research had been done that when people put jetties into the lake, it actually, for example, when people put jetties into the lake north of us, it reduces the amount of sand that we get because their jetty sort of acts as a hook.
Correct.
And if anybody has noticed, there's a home that did that like a quarter mile north of the beach that Lisa just showed us the picture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if anybody, like, do we have any theory that
maybe? Well, it could be, but we've also seen these problems for years. So yes, that is one contributing factor. There's a lot of private homes that are doing those jetties now.
Well, and our neighbors are jetty.
And our pair is a jetty, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So, yes, is that it?
Yes, we're not innocent.
No, we're not innocent in the whole thing. But is that issue, as more of those go up, without a doubt, we'll probably continue to have more problems. Will we have to look maybe at a long-term solution, whether it's looking at what Highland Park did to keep their sand? That's a long-term. We used to go down there. They made little, like, swimming pods with rocks. They put, like, jetties, rock
coves.
Formation coves. Yeah. Yeah.
Is the cement wall at the north end of the North Beach on Park District property?
That one is not. No, it's not.
So
it's
about 40 feet from that cement wall south actually belongs to the village. So the voting beach is bordered by village property on both sides.
Yeah. So we can get the village to build a cement
question,
yes.
Who's private building of jetties?
That is IDNR.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Right, or Army Corps of Engineer, I'm sorry.
I believe it's both. It's
both, probably.
So it's not by the
local. No, Village has no control of that. Yes, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We get notices, and we could always, we send letters in saying, you know, we believe this will affect, but, you know, it's we do have no control over that.
Mm-hmm. No power.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for the update.
Oh, no problem.
He said, thank you. I think that's great to be attacking this on a long-term basis. And in the meantime, we'll do the best we can with new kinds of sand-moving equipment.
I just want to make a note that on Thursday, just in case you see a lot of emergency response vehicles down at the beach, we are doing a training with our staff. So if you get any calls, like what's happening down at the beach, is all these ambulances, well, that's what we're doing. A scheduled training on that day, so... we do that once a year at least, right?
With this,
yeah, every year.
We'll put on
our Facebook and website, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just so people will, what?
Already scheduled.
Already scheduled. That's how on it is. Okay. Other than that, the other thing we would like to talk about is, as you know, we went out to bid for the parking lot and site improvement at Takeoff. And unfortunately, we did not get the bidder response we wanted, so we are rebidding that project. And I put in the board packet just some recommendations from AltAvenue, a little memo of how we can try to increase our bidding opportunities for that. So, for example, we have taken out color coding for this lot because we now have it scheduled to do work next year, so we have taken that off. We believe the timing of our new bid will be better. There's a lot of big projects out there, school projects that still aren't done, so they weren't prepared to start in August. And from what our indication from landscape architect and some of the contractors that Chris called, they have more openings come September when we start the project a little later. So that was still in our timetable for the fitness center. Having the parking lot's done before we open the fitness center, we're still on task for that. But one thing the architects highly recommended to get a more favorable bids, get more bidders, is to decide on to have as limited alternate bids as possible, and would ask that we decide if we would like to have concrete pathways or asphalt pathways, so that we only have to bid one of those and take out one of the alternates. So we request that the board give a recommendation to how we should move forward to tell the landscape architects how to bid on this. And we put our recommendations in the packet, so we're prepared to answer any questions you would have for that.
As a whole, most parking lots, what would you say, are asphalt?
Parking lots? Mm-hmm. Oh, parking lots, absolutely, yes.
So why would we want to go, I mean, I know that concrete lasts longer, but it's more expensive.
Oh, we're talking only the pathways, though the parking lots would still all be asphalt.
Okay.
The only thing that would be concrete is the walking trail.
And the connection between the parking
lots. Yes, yes, correct. Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because we want it to last longer.
Yeah, so, and you want to speak to this because you're more of an expert on pathways.
So the pathways, you know, obviously pathways are made out of lots of different materials, particularly at this site we're recommending concrete because of the long-term cost. I mean, we know from the cost estimate concrete is going to be more expensive. We're going to spend between $20,000 and $40,000 more on a concrete path than we would on an asphalt path. But what we also know is that the long-term costs are going to be less. We're not going to be looking at having to reseal coat it, having to crack fill, having to grind, having to have the interruption in service, having to close the park down the line. Now, concrete isn't, you know, everybody has seen a broken concrete square on a sidewalk, but, you know, you can look anywhere in our park system and you can see what an asphalt path looks like as it starts to degrade. So particularly at this site, because of the heavy use that we have, the around the year use that we have, the fact that we're really trying to encourage strollers, lots of different mobility devices to be on that path, that's why we're recommending concrete.
So the line of paths that we have already, that we have some deterioration from, are asphalt. So I get that. I think the difference is maybe in like the vision, like some of us have this being kind of like an added amenity. That people will stop and enjoy and it will look really nice, and concrete doesn't always look very nice. But maybe that's just a different, and I don't know how everyone else is picturing it now, but to me, if we have this new recreation area. It's kind of a nice thing to have people, they can go walk for a little bit. We don't have a big space there, so you don't have a track, and then they can come in and work out. So that's kind of how I'm envisioning it. The concrete just, it's not how I pictured it, but that's just my opinion.
Well, if I just want to say that the cough cafe we put in is concrete, so the visual for that. So
I should defer to you.
No, please.
I understand what you're saying, that we sort of look at this as a recreational amenity, but I think that it is what we do with it that's going to make it look like a recreational amenity. So what we plant around it, how we keep it up, how we put signage on it, and sort of like how we make these bioswales interesting and engaging so it draws people in. I think those are the things that, because I was not a big concrete fan from the get-go, because I know I probably will jog on it, because I like to jog and walk and jog and walk, but that's just me. However, I realize that if you look at the whole group of people using it, from the six kids strollers coming out of the park district to kids on scooters and maybe other kinds of devices, you know, and then people walking and running. Overall, probably cement makes more sense.
I mean, we're definitely, there's no question that cement will age better than asphalt. I mean, we're going to, down the line, I certainly understand your perspective of feeling more traily from the beginning being asphalt, but I think as we go on in the future years, I think we're going to see a degradation much quicker. We're going to start to see settling around the sides, repairs. It is definitely a project that the scope of it could allow for concrete. Mm-hmm. If this was a 7 or 8 or 20 mile trail, we might not be having this discussion.
No, it wouldn't be.
But I think aesthetically, I think over the long term, concrete is going to hold up and look better 20, 30, 40 years down the line. So,
we also, if you look at the plan, there's a delineation between the when it butts up against the parking lot, which we do have in a couple different areas, by the old skate park and over by the maintenance, they go alongside each other. So by having a different kind of material kind of sets that apart from that area that's not a parking area. So that's one benefit. That's one benefit also. I can definitely see your point, thinking it's more running trail. I see concrete as more multi-purpose. It's allowing for more different kind of activities on it.
Okay, so some people in the environmental community call those co-benefits, when you have many users or many opportunities to use the same resource. That seems to apply more to concrete than it does with asphalt. Plus, it lasts longer.
Mm-hmm. And there's environmental concerns with asphalt. At some point, when it's put in and then leaking into the environment, there's some concern with that. Yeah. Minimal, but there is some concern.
We're not going to be using any coal tar sealants in the project.
No.
Okay.
Just as an FYI.
Now, staff is looking for policy direction on this. I think we have had one commissioner who's weighed in on this.
Yes, Steve Gaines, I asked because he couldn't be in and he apologized. So we talked about this. I asked him, he goes, is there anything you want me to weigh in before? And I said, he'll be here at 8:10, so he can say it himself. But he said that he would prefer, I said, can you please indicate for the public record whether or not you want pathway in concrete or asphalt, and I will share with commissioners. And he texts back, I prefer concrete.
Okay. How do people feel about this? And this isn't necessarily a vote, it's a feeling.
I'm 6 of 1.5 dozen of the other, so
you're all kind of on the fence.
Can I guess I would weigh with staff recommendation of concrete?
Okay. I mean, I still like the idea of more of a running path, but you know, I get what the consensus is. But if we can still concentrate on making that recreational and, you know, the other things that were discussed pertaining to that, I think it would be a really nice amenity. We want to do it right.
Okay.
That's nice.
Yes. Definitely.
We want it to be not just a concrete cap. We want it to be part of the recreation side. Yeah.
So it shows the importance of the landscaping next to the path, and perhaps it's designed such that it fits into the earth maybe rather than sits too far.
Oh, it will, because it's kind of all field for the baseball field. There won't be much landscape except for those bioswales and things like that. There won't, you know, but yes, we will do that. So
I'm hearing general support for concrete if it's handled sensitively.
Okay, perfect. All right, so pretty much what here it says, you direct me to tell the Altamanu to bid in.
Landscape architects to bid the TACOP Center site pathway in concrete.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thanks for that direction. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
All right. And I don't know, is there any other questions with my report? All right.
Okay, so moving right along.
Talking off.
So we,
oh, yeah, you sure can.
I assume that we close every year.
We do.
I just didn't know.
Yeah, so sometimes it's only a couple days, and sometimes it's for a week, depending on what the projects are that year. So last year, I think we closed for 2 days. And we do it, always do it after camp in August when it's a little slower in town. We will still have the, for registration, the early childhood wing entrance will be open to take registration, but programs are moved out of this building. We'll be doing the floors, construction of the registration desk will take place that week. It will go over a week. It may take a couple of weeks, so we have planned to do moving registration desk for that the rest of the month of August, but we're also starting the construction in the fitness room, so we just decided to do the whole week. And it tends to be a very low programming, slow week anyways. Okay. Adult recreation.
All about adult recreation.
You want the lights or?
Do you want me to do the lights? Be right back.
All right. So yes, today I'll be presenting the adult recreation report. I have business dean Paul Gedgen with me here as well. We'll be taking us through some of the slides. So we'll jump right into it. If you remember this graphic, this is what you'll see at the beginning of every one of our presentations. We kind of talk about what area of the recreation facilities we're going to be touching on. So we have active adults, which of course encompasses some other things like athletics and things like that. But before we get started, a couple definitions and goals. We've defined, for the sake of this report, an adult program as anyone that targets anyone over the age of 21, and an active adult program as anyone specifically designed for someone 65 and older. So you'll see that some of our programs are specifically for those of the older age population, and some are just for adults in general. Goals of our adult programming, from our department standpoint, is to provide recreational opportunities to all adults, allowing them to benefit from the services and facilities that we provide. So we want to try and meet the changing demand for active adult programs. You'll see throughout the report that active adult programming is no longer needed and vacant. It's much more than that. And then also, we do want to meet the recreational needs of adults who are parts of families so that we can accommodate them as well. So as a Glencoe Park District, we cannot be everything to every adult. What we can be is something to every adult, whether it's a beach or a class or an ice rink. We feel like the variety of programming we provide allows every single adult in the community to benefit from our services. The traditional active adult programs, the knitting, the bingo, that's a small part of what we feel we offer as a part of this training. You know, an area that Test Year does a phenomenal job trying to reach this difficult demographic, but it's a challenge because when we don't have them coming into the facility frequently, naturally opening that brochure, not seeing a reach screen, it's much more of a challenge. Again, Aaron does an amazing job of trying to reach that through, you know, flash sales, the tennis program, things like that. He also does a great job using inter-community marketing. We'll talk about partnerships. We talk about using local businesses. So again, Aaron's coming up with creative ways to try and get the word out about all the things that we offer to the community. So with that, I'll turn it over to Liz, who will talk about some of the general programs.
So up here we have kind of a list of our general adult programs. Some of the classes include ceramics. We also have other art classes, including painting, watercolors, drawing, things like that. We've also started adding day trips and extended travel trips. We're actually working with a group that we're offering extended travel trips. They're now in fall brochure you saw. We're also adding a lot more workshops and one-day programs because people seem to find more time to do one-day things instead of individual sessions. So we have a BYOB that delivers 21 and older. It doesn't mean that we don't allow 18-year-olds on their program, but for this one, 21 up. CPR, diversity classes, our breakfast clubs, we started offering last fall, kind of a mini open house. It just gives adults an opportunity to come into the facility, see the facility, someone's pretty much amazed at the scope of our facility, and what programs we have. And of course, we have partners still there, and some of our community partners.
So yeah, when it comes to the fitness programming, we have our tried and true classes. We have some up-and-coming classes, so a tried-and-true class would be our Monday yoga class. Up-and-coming class would be our growing variety classes. We currently offer three. And then we also try and offer new classes each session, so two to three different classes, new classes each session as well. To make sure we're utilizing the studios and the facility to their full potential, we also offer studio rentals to our instructors, so they take up other spaces when we don't have classes running in those areas. Other opportunities, we're big on beach fitness classes now, so we've started offering paddleboard fitness, paddleboard yoga, and then also this fall we're offering some classes out at Shelton Park to utilize the fitness amenities out there. So, you may have heard, we are going to open a fitness area here in the Taker Center this fall. So, the picture of it is right there. This will be a great way to get the adult population in the doors of the Taker Center. So, once that demographic is in the building, they'll be able to see our reach screens, they'll see our other marketing materials. It'll be by the ceramic studio, so hopefully, our other adult programs will get a boost from the fitness center being here in the Taker Center. Also, we're hoping it'll help the group fitness classes as well.
Okay, so here we have a few of our partners that we work with and we work with events, programs, guest service, Lanco, Home Library Club, our other community partners that we work with and some of them we publish in our brochure, Community Garden, as well as our community nature that we offer. We put some of those programs into our brochures to reach our adult programs as well.
Yeah, the biggest thing with our partners is collaboration. We have resources that they want. We have space, we have vans, and in return we use them to kind of push our programs out into their, to their constituents, so we can, work with Women's Library Club to let them use the room, and in return they can hand out a flyer to our program for us. So we find all those partnerships to be mutually beneficial. As I mentioned earlier, there's a ton of different adult recreation opportunities that may not be apparent when you think about adult recreation. So great examples are Boating Week, which is almost exclusively used by adults. Adults have storage spaces, they have boats, they have kayaks. Some great stats up here on our beach passes, that over 58% of our passes are sold to people age 18 and older. Same thing with the Watt Center. We have drop-in hockey for adults, we have private rentals for adults, we've even offered adult hockey and skating classes with mixed success, but it's another facility that allows time for families to recreate, for adults to recreate. That may not be the first thing that comes to mind when you think about adult recreation. Paul rents to facility renters. It's not all just kids' birthdays. It's 50th birthday parties, it's anniversary parties, it's special events. But then it is also an opportunity for children to have their birthday parties here at an affordable price. So again, going back to that, recreation for families is an alternative, and it's a good place to have a birthday party. Chris Pietrini offers a lot of adult athletics. We have karate, we have softball, we have tennis. So again, we're trying to serve the population that way. And then Liz offers special events and family programming. The 4th of July is a great example. We encourage the family to come out for the whole day. Lots below zero, it's free egg hunt, and encouraging parents to bring their children. Even if the mom EBTs, the dad daughter date night, yes, you're serving the daughter, but you're also serving, the parents as well. Chris does a great job keeping our parks looking pristine, so that you can go sit on a bench in Lake Town Park, jog through the trails, enjoy the open space. So again, nothing we can quantify to serve the way that the adults are using our amenities and our parks. And then a kind of unique way to think about it as well is people who are on volunteer committees and volunteer programs. While it's not direct recreation, it's a way that they're getting involved and they're engaging with the park district. So in conclusion, hopefully we sold one of the first adult recreation offerings that the park district has, with our goal to try and get a variety of interests and allow people to kind of see that, you know, we do offer a lot of different variety for being, you know, a park district that serves a community of about 8,000. There's a chart in the report that you got that showed all of our class offerings over the last 4 years. So hopefully you see that we're trying new things every single year. We're trying to roll out new classes, new ideas, things that are trendy, things that are popular. Our goal is to always continue that, to always see if we can find something that's exciting, that's new, that people latch on to. And then again, like Paul mentioned, we're very excited about the fitness center, because not only do we get to serve an adult population with that capacity, but they're in the door, and we can talk to them about other programs and other things that we offer. So at this point, we'll open up the panel for questions.
So thank you, Mike and Paul, Liz. That presentation was a brief synopsis of, hopefully you read the report in their, in the board packet. So do you have any questions or suggestions for the team? For what? Oh, boxing. Yeah, is it cardio boxing you're talking about? Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a really good idea. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Did you have
something? I have a quick question. First of all, I thought this report and the analysis that you did was really good, really well done, and it was very helpful to me to see that. And it, you know, it goes without saying, it's really small population, it's 20,000, and there's a lot of competition for adult time, including students. So that makes your job very difficult. And all I can say is, encourage you to keep trying. Keep trying new things, and if they don't work, maybe they'll work again another time. Just keep trying, and thanks for the report. Well done.
Yeah, I wanted to add to that. I thought the report was terrific. One of the things I'd like to just mention is this emerging trend about parks and public health. I belong to a group called Go Green Illinois, and we actually had a walking expert come and talk to us in the village. And his visit was underwritten by one of the local medical groups. And this is becoming a bigger thing. There's even a group called Walk with the Doc. people are walking with the doctor.
That's a good idea.
Probably.
That's a good idea.
Probably.
That's got to be expensive to walk, though.
Anyway, there's a strong link between what we're doing in the park district and public health, and there's a lot of talk about public health and its impact on insurance and all that good stuff. So the more we can link up with that that horse, I think would be helpful.
Thank you.
But I really like the approach and trying to find what I call a whole palette of activities for adults.
Yeah, and we're very cognizant of that as well. Aaron and Paul worked on a little program last summer, kind of in the same vein, and taking people out, getting them walking.
Yeah, it was like a step challenge, so we had banners up, encouraging people to walk their steps, you know, bring their, you know, iPhones, they track everything out. So obviously you bring that in, show the customer service staff how many steps to take, you get some red stickers, pretty much what they were. We had banners up, so we were putting the stickers up to fill up the state of Illinois. And then at the end, we get a little credit.
And we'll see a lot more of that with the fitness center coming online, you know, cardio channels, and things like that. So we'll get a repeat location.
Health and wellness is one of the social pillars of NRPA, so that's something that we go with also.
Good.
So, yeah.
Good. Okay, great. Okay.
Anything else?
Are we done?
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. It was very nice.
Much.
You guys can stay if you want.
<You're out of here>.
I don't blame them. They work a lot of nights and weekends. So you have touch the fleet or meet the fleet this weekend.
Meet the machine.
Meet the machine like a touch a truck with the village. So we're doing that at the village ground, the cooperative program with them. So very excited about that. So thank you.
Great.
Ladies, I just wanted to add that all my years of sitting in on these meetings, I've never seen as comprehensive an adult
Thank you. Well, as thanks to you guys for actually asking for this, and kind of we can explain all these ideas and things that we do that maybe you don't get a chance to. So thank you. Okay.
Okay. Are you all ready to move on to action items?
We are.
Okay.
I don't know if we have enough, though. I think we should add a few more.
We have a quite a list here, and we're up to full force.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Well, let's start at the beginning with motion A. I entertain a motion to approve resolution 873, a resolution for the commitment of $500,000 of the corporate fund balance and $500,000 of the recreation fund balance for future capital projects of the Glencoe Park District as presented.
So moved.
Discussion?
Get it.
I think we've reviewed a lot of this stuff in
committee
already.
We have.
Yep. Yeah.
I have nothing to add. So,
okay. Ready?
Commissioner.
Roll call, please.
Okay. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Mr. Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Lawton?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Next one. I entertain a motion to approve the annual treasurer's report as presented.
So moved.
Okay, we need a second for that.
Second.
Brooks, okay. Discussion? Okay, ready to go. Roll call.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay. Next item C. Entertain a motion to approve the investment policy as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? I just want to say this is...
We're amending it as I asked last month.
That's good suggestion.
Yeah.
Yep. Very good one.
We were saying that the last time this was updated was about 20 years ago.
Yeah. 1999.
Once every 20 years is probably good.
What do we need in that?
Okay. All in favor?
No.
All in favor?
All in favor.
Opposed?
Okay. Next one, D. I entertain a motion to approve moving the August board meeting to Thursday, August 17th at 7 p.m. So that would replace our Tuesday meeting.
Yeah, it'll be abbreviated one, I promise.
Second.
Discussion? All right. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Good.
Okay. Next item, E. I entertain a motion to approve the lowest responsible bidder, HAP Builders of Waukegan, Illinois, including alternate one for a total of $219,100 for the Tackett Center Fitness Area Restroom Renovation and Front Desk Improvement Project as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Do I understand this correctly that the bids came back $100,000 less than
that? No, the total project cost is with the fitness equipment, so this is just the construction, but they did come in lower than we thought.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Let's see. Okay.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
Get that?
Okay. Okay. Next one, I entertain a motion to approve the revised policy on recreation and facility discounts for employees and commissioners as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Mm-hmm.
No discussion? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay. H, I entertain a motion to approve that no notification be given to Paderma Health Program regarding termination, and in doing so, that the district remain with Paderma Health Programs for another 3-year period as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? We covered this in our committee
already.
Yep. Roll call.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay. I am entertaining a motion to approve the Glencoe Junior Kindergarten Agreement as presented.
Second. So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
I should like to say a little bit about
okay.
that. We should to negotiate the contract, and I have to say, I don't know, I think you would agree with me, it was a very agreeable process.
Yes.
It lasted a little longer than we might have hoped, but that was partly due to the fact that they have a board turnover kind of right at the point we were getting ready to close the whole thing up. So they offered up their pro bono, really top-notch lawyers who happened mm-hmm. to be on their board that we worked with who were as pleasant and agreeable and as possibly could be. The entire situation was much better, than went much more smoothly than I might have expected. And we ended up with a much better contract than we have had in the past, I believe, in terms on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
There was give and take on both sides,
correct.
And the conclusion was good for everyone. So, you know.
I think the message is that we value GJK in our facility and their program and offers a different programming opportunity than we offer. So they're a very welcome partner, and we think this agreement reflects that.
Yes.
Terrific. Any other discussion? No? I think it's a terrific job. Thank you very much.
Oh,
look at that. I was wondering who was out there.
And we're the new board representatives, so we can't take credit for all the nice things we've had to say about the people who, you know, made the process great, but we just want to echo our sentiments of thanks to you guys, and you know from the board president that it was a good next process on our side as well, and we're excited to partner with you guys going forward. If you need anything from the GJK side, we're your guys.
Excellent. Well, thank you. And thank you for sitting through the whole meeting. Had I known, I might have moved it up.
Well, I guess we better roll call vote.
Okay. Commissioner Byrne?
Yes.
Sorry. Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the use of temporary field lights at West Park due to parking and trail construction at Tech Up as presented. Again, we discussed this in our committee.
We did.
So moved. Second.
Discussion. I just wanted to add that we're still working with the village. They don't believe there's any permitting issues. They just want to work with us about light placement and communications to neighbor. We just want to make clear that well, having lights at any facilities, it may be something hard for the neighbors to swallow. Once we make this decision, we really cannot go back and change it, because once we're done here, we're making a commitment to all the youth organizations that will use that field. So I just, wanted to throw that out there before we take the vote, that, once we make a decision, if we get complaint calls or something, we can't go back and reverse it, because we've already made commitments to those organizations. Very temporary.
Yes. Programs,
exactly.
So there's really no other choice.
And we are moving it back to, because of the bid situation, we're not going to put those lights in until this construction actually takes place. So we're looking at 2 months at max, till about November 10th. So.
And I thought that the staff and the board were both very cognizant of being as sensitive as we can, and at the same time upholding our commitment to the organizations that will be displaced while this work is going on here. So this might not be the most popular decision that we make if we should follow this, but I think it's an important one to provide a facility for those folks and to be as compassionate as we can while a few people might get slightly upset for a short term.
Okay.
Roll call vote.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any other business to come before the group?
have a question, please.
Yes.
First, let me apologize for being late. It was unavoidable this evening. I'm sorry. And the second was, I did receive an email that said something about a September meeting and some difficulty with that.
That would be...
Okay, fine. I received 6 or 7 emails.
That would be Carol is not allowed to put things in her phone anymore during a board meeting.
Yeah. It was my mistake. I apologize to you all.
All of a sudden, you were invited at 5 o'clock.
Actually, something for me personally went to all of you.
I see it coming at 5 o'clock. I'm like, that's our pre-board meeting. What are you doing? Yeah, that was today. Yeah, Debbie's today, so it's okay.
I thought it was for appreciation. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Poor girl. The committee and board meetings in the calendar format is really helpful for me. I just want to say that.
That's helpful. Good. I'm glad that's working for everybody. I know Jenny just sent out like 10 today.
So. You're booked through February.
Curiosity. Yes. Why sometimes on these motions do we say all in favor and any opposed, and sometimes we do roll call?
Jenny can answer that.
There's a law handbook that they have some tips on how to move a meeting faster. So if something is not controversial, doesn't have money included, where funds need to be approved, then all in favor just makes the meeting go a little faster.
Or legal way to do it. If there's things that something controversial, we'll make sure you all pipe in.
Okay, are we ready to adjourn?
We are. We have no executive session today.
Okay.
Hey, that was pretty good, Dudley. I have to say, it's 8:27 with all those. Oh, nice job.
I need a motion. I need a motion to adjourn.
Oh, that's all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
All right.
All right. Now we can talk.